The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
We did it, guys! We made it! I don't have to preach from a wheelchair this morning. No, I'm teasing. Thank you, Andrew. Hey, everyone who participated in Run for the Light, will you stand right now? If you ran, walked, crawled, served, or gave, any and all categories, will you just stand up real quick? Stay standing. Don't sit down. So quick report, 72 runners, and yesterday, to date, money's still coming in, but to date, we have raised $13,371.60. Give yourselves a hand. How awesome was that? How awesome. All right, now I know you stood up. Now be real careful as you sit back down, all right? Some of you are sore. I'm glad I'm up here this morning. I'm not sitting, because if I was sitting, I might not be able to leave today. So let me tell you one other really quick testimony from yesterday. This week, I became aware of a need that's right here in our state. One of our missionaries that we support, his name is Seth Fincher. He is out on the reservation in Pruitt, New Mexico, which is between Grants and Gallup. And I became aware that they were in need of a flatbed trailer to be able to just serve their local community there in Pruitt. And I had this idea. I'm like, you know what? We're raising money like this week for Speed the Light. And so I was able to make a few phone calls, and I called Seth this week, and I said, "Hey, listen, we're running for the light this week, and because of that, I wanted to call and tell you that you can come whenever you want and pick up your brand new trailer, Harvest Speed the Light. We're gonna buy that for you." And so he's coming on the 19th, I believe, or 20th, to pick up his trailer. That was because of Run for the Light, and we raised more than for a trailer. The rest will go to other projects, but I like that because last week, if you're here, we started talking about this idea of concentric circles and how we look first to our neighbors and then to our city and then to our state and then to our nation and then to our world. And so that was one that I'm like, this is really amazing that we're able to do one of our projects right here in New Mexico. And so I'll get you a video to tell you a little bit more about that later. But way to go. Again, we just give all our runners, walkers, crawlers, givers, supporters. Yeah, y'all did just an amazing job. Such a fun day. Let me tell you a couple other things in this vein that we're in right now called We Love Our City. This is part of our We series. The idea of this series was to take this year and to equip you with who are we as a church. And so we have this language that describes it. And so we talked about, you know, we don't do life alone. That's our value of community. We depend on God. That's our value of our deep and meaningful faith. And then last week we started talking about our mission, which the way we describe that is we just say we love our city. And I want to give you an opportunity coming up this week that developed to love our city. So this Wednesday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. we're going to go to Marie Hughes Elementary. They're doing an open house event, and I was just dreaming with them this last week, and they were like, "Pastor, we really want this to be a big event. We want to get a bunch of families in so we can connect with them. We can help families." I said, "Well, what would help you to get a bunch of your families here?" And they said, "Bounce houses and food." And I said, "I think we could do something about that." And so you may not know this, we own 3 bounce houses. And so we're going to take our bounce houses there. And I called Chick-fil-A and I said, "Chick-fil-A, will you help us?" And they said, "Yes." And so we're going to take pizza, that's not from Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A, you're like confused right now, I know. Chick-fil-A and some pizza and chips and waters. And we're just going to man bounce houses, and we're going to serve food, and we're just going to come alongside of them. So I need about 10 volunteers that would say, "Hey, I'll join you for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and help you." And it's just really easy. We'll have everything ready for you. So you can go on our church center app, or you can go on and sign up and grab one of those spots. And Lisa and I'll be there. We're super excited. And also with the connection with our local schools, I want to ask you to be in prayer for something. We have an opportunity to bring bring in a national school assembly speaker. He has been speaking in public schools for, a couple of decades. His name's Reggie Dabbs. He's a strong believer. He's an evangelist, a missionary. And so we had the chance to bring him in. And so I really, really booked him by faith that we would actually be able to get into the schools. I didn't know if we could, but I was hopeful. I was faithful. And so we booked him. He's coming in November. And this week I started calling schools. We have three of our Albuquerque public schools who have already said yes to allowing us to bring him in and to do an assembly. This is pretty cool, right? It's pretty cool. And so this week I'm working on some more. And if you have a connection, by the way, just let me know about it. We'll try to make it happen. This is one of those. We'll go anywhere in the city. We don't care. We just want to go and bring a message of hope into our public schools. But I wanted you to know about that and ask you to be in prayer with me. And then I know that Pastor Lisa already announced it, but Trunk or Treat's coming up. That's a big way that we love our city. And a bunch of you have already started signing up for that. Thank you. And don't wait till the last minute because it stresses us out because we don't know if you're coming or not. And so just do it early. Just sign up early. We'll buy the candy. You come and you man your station. It's so easy. I mean, it's just so fun too. It's awesome. So I hope that you will do that. Now, I mentioned this idea of concentric circles. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning and I want to talk about something that's been going on as we've endeavored to love our city at kind of that outer ring, which would be loving our city on a worldwide level. Some of you will remember a few weeks ago, or maybe months ago it was in July when our new friend Diana came, and she shared how the Lord had been using her to go back to her home country of the Ukraine, and that was such a fun Sunday because you had no idea that was happening that day. It developed really quickly, and so while we were talking about that, we had the store set up in the lobby, and afterwards I said, hey, if you want to help, we can go to the store, you can buy items. All of that's going to go to orphans there that have been displaced because of the war. And you just, man, you responded like way better than we even imagined. It was just, in fact, you bought everything there, and then you just started giving because you're like, there's going to be more. We want to be a part. And you started giving and giving, and we had envelopes, and you were doing stuff, crazy stuff. Like you'd take a $20 envelope and you'd put $200 in it. And you were just like being so, so generous. And so because of your generosity, I want you to hear about it in just a second. Diana was able to make that trip and take all of those items. And we want to show you some pictures and tell you some of those stories. And then because there was so much given, we actually held back some of those funds. And we just created a missions Ukraine account in our system. And we just said, Diana, when you get back and you find out what the other needs are, we're going to be ready. Like you just start sending me Amazon list, and we're just going to start buying stuff. And so this week, it was so much fun. Diana called. She said, all right, Pastor, I got a list for you. And she sent a list, and I sat there at my computer just like, buy, 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 buy. It was so sleeping bags and sleeping pads and boots. And I mean, it was so much fun. And so boxes upon boxes have been delivered to Diana's house, so much so that I had to go over there and get the cardboard and flatten it and bring it to our recycle bin because her house was overflowing with cardboard because she's on a first name basis with the Amazon driver now. So we've been waiting. Some of you have asked, like, hey, what happened? And so I want to bring my friend Diana so we can hear a little bit more about the rest of the story. Are you excited about that? All right. So Diana, come on up and join me for just a minute. Tyler's got a microphone and a clicker for you. And we have removed any and all pictures that have cats in it, just so you know. I'm teasing. I don't actually know. I haven't seen any of the pictures. So, hey, this is my friend, Diana. She's from here. She's from the Ukraine. She lives in Albuquerque now. This is home. I'm so thankful that God allowed our paths to cross. And listen, when I meet people who are risk takers for the kingdom of God, I can't help but just, I'm like, come on, let me be a part of this. I want to be a part. What do we do? How can we be a part? And so, Diana, thank you for letting us to be a part of it. So let's tell a story. You went back to you didn't go to the Ukraine. You went to Germany, correct?
Yeah, this time. Well, first of all, thank you guys. Good morning. Thank you for having us back. I brought the rest of my family. Yeah. You remember David. This is my daughter, Alina, and my son, Daniel.
Let's give them a hand this morning.
Before I tell you the stories and tell you about how much you wanted to get involved, you have no idea how involved you will be soon enough. I want to tell you guys that it's not lost on me what day it is today. And I remember where I was on that day. I was in Florida watching live news, so I saw everything that happened live. And I remember how I felt, and I understand that for the last 200 days, today is day 200, this is what every Ukrainian felt and feels. Yep. And while we're advancing, there's still losses, and there's still a lot of things that will be happening. And I want to tell you thank you for all the support you guys have been given, and for all your prayers and all your heart and all your kindness. As far as Germany goes, psychologically and mentally, it was probably the hardest trip out of the last three trips that I have taken, because it has to do with kids. It has to do not just with the orphans, but with the orphans that have double and triple trauma of losing their home country, their language, their family, and their orphanages. When you have a 12-year-old sitting on your lap screaming and saying, "Why have they given me back? Why have they given me back? They loved me." And then you know the story, because you walk in and the kid tells you a story. She was born and her sister and she were taken out by the system because her mom was an alcoholic, gave her up. Somebody took them in the foster care after several years in the orphanage, gave them back. They spent several more years in the orphanage. Somebody adopted them. They were in a family for 7 years. Then mom dies of cancer. Dad gives them back for the third time, and you physically have to restrain them because all this trauma is coming out. It plays tricks on your mind, it plays tricks on you, and those stories that kids tell you, "I ran away because my mom caught me, my mom beat me, I showed up at the orphanage with blood, bruises, and everything." You listen to this, and you realize how easy we have it here, in many cases, in majority of cases. And then those kids, first the trip started, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Trip started by me missing the international flight and losing everything that was in my luggage. It was gone. So I get to Germany and thank God I lost my luggage, because I met with, we're not showing the right pictures. Are we showing them? This is not.
That's the right clicker.
Okay.
Can we go to another one?
But, yeah, no, I need the, back over the batch.
Ross, do you fly to the Ukraine?
Okay, yeah. I met with a friend of mine over there, and we were hopping trains, and she had the luggage, and everything was burning the day in Germany. It's like, they would stop the train, and we would sit and try to guess what they're saying, and they would say, "We're not proceeding any further because something is burning, the woods are burning." So anyway, we show up at the orphanage and we just have clothes and no stuff, and nothing. And for 2 days, I spent 2 days trying to find where are the stuff, because there were lots of stuff that came from here, right? And a friend of mine found my luggage in 10 minutes. Somehow, miraculously, she just said, "Well, my husband gave a call to the airline, and your luggage is still in the United States. It will fly to Frankfurt, and they hand deliver it." And what we did, it was a Christmas in July, just like we planned. It was a Christmas morning. So I'm going to show you a little bit of where the kids live. This is, the kitchen. There's 16 kids, and there were extremely exhausted 4 caregivers. Mm-hmm. So it's 2 per shift.
Wow.
They were so tired that you would start talking to them, and they would start crying, just because they're physically, mentally, emotionally, everybody's exhausted. Those are our littles. And you don't want to know the majority of their stories.
Yeah.
Because when a 6-year-old says, "Well, my mommy drinks, but not very often. I don't like my mom's friend because she comes and then my mom drinks and then she beats me and I don't eat." And we go, "Honey, how long is not often?" "Well, every other day."
Wow.
That's her story. We had twins there that were thrown 3 weeks before the war began. The twins were thrown out by their mom on the street, said, "I don't want you anymore. I'm keeping your six-year-old brother. I don't want the two of you." They end up in an orphanage. In the next couple of days, they end up in a bomb shelter where they sit in for 2 weeks. After that, they're evacuated to Germany. They lose it. Mm-hmm. The boys are dangerous. They're so talented. They're self-teaching themselves music. They can solve anything electrical or electronic you give them. But at the same time, we catch them when one's grabbing the knife to go kill a second grader, because that is how their trauma is coming out. They don't understand where they are. They're betrayed for so many times in their lives. They need that individual attention that they cannot have because there are two caregivers and 16 of them. But we got the luggage back. With the money that we received, we also threw some pizza parties.
Yeah.
And we were able to send every single caregiver to go do something for themselves, like, you know, a massage or,
awesome.
Something for the women to feel that they're women. Yeah. Because on their day off, they just sit in their room.
Yeah.
They didn't have a chance to go anywhere.
That's so cool.
And it's not a very good picture. Sorry, guys. I don't know. They were okay on my phone.
That's okay.
Pizza party. Pizza party. So we opened the suitcases and they blew their gasket. The VR sets, the diamond paintings, the Legos, the by number. And you know what strikes you? Every one of those kids comes to you and they say, "Is this personal?" And at first I didn't understand the question. Like, what do you mean? You're playing with a Lego set, you're painting, you're by number. Is this personal? Can I take it to my room? Because what they have, they share everything. And to them, to have a Lego set or something, I'm like, yes, honey, I mean, nobody who's going to... How can your paint by numbers be not personal? It's personal. Yeah. You can take it to your room.
Wow.
Are you for real? Is it real? Are you sure? Are you serious? Yes. The VR sets came out and they were like, "Oh my gosh." Because for the last several months, all they had, that's my luggage that they found. And the kids were like, "Yeah, Christmas is coming." Because for the last several months, they get 10 minutes of video game per person a day. They all share one Xbox. No, it wasn't an Xbox. That was like a PlayStation.
Wow.
Yeah. So that
you took
was
a couple of VR sets. Correct?
We ended up with five.
Five.
So
that's
I
awesome.
Left three at the orphanage.
By the way, that's kind of a funny story because that day you were here, you said, "I have a stream item of a VR set."
Yeah.
Before we dismissed, we had people going online and buying VR sets. And then as soon as we dismissed, someone bought the one we had. And then we had people mad. Not mad, but like, I wanted to buy the VR set. I'm like, buy another VR set. So kind of fun.
Yeah,
I'm glad you got five of them.
Yeah, we
so
ended
cool.
up and they were split between two countries because I went between Germany and Austria. And I left three at the orphanage and I took two to Austria. But one of them actually ended up in Ukraine because somebody from Ukraine drove up to meet us. It's Joel. Joel's gonna take.
That's
well,
awesome.
He took a. Yeah. So that was fantastically difficult and amazing trip. I don't know why pictures are cut off, but I think so. But somewhere. Anyway, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was heartbreaking. It was easy because it was Germany, and it was probably one of the most difficult things that I ended up doing.
Yeah.
But before we left for this trip, before I left for this trip, we had people asking, "Well, when are you going to Ukraine? When are you going on the fourth one?" And I thought at first that never. Would not be soon enough. You get tired, you get exhausted. But things started accumulating. Before I left for Germany, I had 5 bags of medical stuff already sitting at my house with medical supplies. So when I got back and my family and I had the conversation, they said, well, you know, let's do this again, because another need came up. You know, it's still warm here. It's not so warm in Ukraine anymore. So we wanted to try to supply 3 small units, the total of 20 people, with the winter stuff. Because winter is going to be brutal. This is where they're sleeping now, kind of like, you know, and in the trenches. And we wanted to get them, you know, sleeping bags and new uniforms and winter shoes and just, you know, emergency blankets, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So we said, again, we don't plan anything. Let's see what we end up with. And if there is a team, we want to try to take the team with us and deliver one last haul of stuff. And this exploded.
That's your living room, right?
And it looks good right now. There is no room to step anywhere there. This morning, there is no room.
Yeah, that was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, because of a friend of mine who has been supporting the last several trips, and because of Harvest, this thing is exploded to the point where, like, yeah, the FedEx and Amazon drivers are probably going to invite us all to their weddings and stuff at this point. I have 16 pieces of luggage currently packed in my office, and nothing in my living room is packed yet. So, practically speaking, what we're going to end up with, we're probably going to end up with about 7 people, total 8, that will need to go with me. Pastor Jason is going to be one of them. He is going to go and be involved with just, you know, lugging the luggage and mewing the things and speaking to the church in Ukraine and getting to deliver some supplies to the areas that have been pretty much eradicated by the war. Yeah. We are, well, my children will go. And probably Pastor Jason's friend will go, and possibly 2 more people that we have in mind. One of them may be, I'm not making it public yet, and I'm not going to, but we may have one of the Albuquerque news anchors going with us on a half work, half humanitarian, because she wants to help, but I don't have a commitment yet, so I'm not naming names. But it would be good if she went with us, because the exposure that she could provide for Ukraine would be, you know, just fantastic. So we have, yes.
That's the bags that are
packed. It's some of the bags that are
go.
Packed, yes. So I don't know if you...
And each person can take 4 bags?
Technically, yes. If we get humanitarian tickets, it's 3 free check-in luggage pieces per person. We usually take 4. Sometimes the airlines waive the fees. Sometimes they don't. Like last time, we ended up paying $800 for 4 bags. But it's still so much cheaper than trying to fly it. Mm-hmm. The way, I don't know if I explained it to you guys, but I explained it. Yeah, it's just, it's really a way better stewardship to take it physically than to try to ship it, than pay the decustom, you know, decustom taxes at the country and then find the drivers and so on and so on. And you never know whose hands it's going to end up in.
Yeah.
So this time, we will have way more soldiers that we are able to cover than we originally planned. It's not going to be 20, it's going to be more. And refugees, and kids, and their medical supplies, and things are still arriving. So we will be to capacity. At this point, we're actually saying no more stuff except what's still being shipped. After this, we're going to concentrate on what I call the fly money, because they fly so fast, you blink and it's gone. But it's the driver, it's the fuel, it's bribe money if we have to bribe the medical lab again. Because if the team is going, and if something happens, we're not leaving anybody behind. Everybody's coming home. So that's what we're going to do. And Well, I don't know what to say. It's just, you know, my daughter comes downstairs every morning and she stares at the living room. She goes, I'm in shock. I'm in shock that this is happening. I'm in shock that this, it's the most ambitious trip that we have hoped for, and we didn't even expect that it's, you know, it's just going to blow up to these proportions. Yeah. We're looking forward to it with a hope that may it be the last one. We're tired. We're tired physically. We're exhausted mentally. We are checking on, you know, on our people every day, who's alive, who's not alive. We have buried more people since between the two trips that we're about to take. We're winning. And I know what the costs are. And there are some costs that I don't know and none of us will ever know. Yeah. But, you know, thank you guys so much for just, you know, for helping, for going, for saying yes, for supporting, for, you know, for everything. Yeah. Because it is, if it weren't for the people, there would be way more people lost than there are today. So we are grateful for all the community support, for all your support, for all our friends' support. It's like in that battle when you're so tired and your hands are just, they're down, and somebody comes behind you and they lift your hands and you can keep fighting and you can keep fighting until there is a sundown and sunrise and sundown and sunrise. Yeah. And we have it easy and they don't. So thank you guys for keeping the lives alive. We had, we're willing to open our house for people to come by and pray over, you know, every pair of shoes that's there, because the boots that are standing in the house, every one of them is a life. Yeah. Every one of, some of them we know, some of them are my personal friends, my family. They have one of the guys that his unit we're going to cover. He has been to Albuquerque so many times, he considers this his second home. Wow. He has been there fighting since day one. Wow. Where his unit has 9 people, we're covering his unit. That's awesome. And those boots represent something.
Yeah.
And when it's all over, then we will all cry. And as you know, I'm not going to say that joke. But for now, we will keep fighting, and thank you for coming along and fighting with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, sure. So we'll keep you posted. We're looking at going in October, and we'll plan on bringing some fly money, as you call it, to help with those needs. And so, church, would you just help me? Let's pray over Diana and her family and this next trip and all the things that are happening. So, Father, thank you for amazing friends that say yes to the things that you call them to. Thank you for the provision that's already happened and the provision to come. We just pray over all the details, the last packages that are coming in, the bags being packed, Lord, the tickets, the right prices, the right dates, the right team, the right everything, Lord, so that this can go well, and we can just bring hope and help to as many people as we can. We know we can't help everyone, but we're going to endeavor to help as many as you'll allow us to in this next trip, and so we just ask you to do that. Lord, we pray for Diana and David. We ask that you would strengthen them. They've been working hard. They're tired, and we ask that you encourage and strengthen them in a way that only you can. Lord, thank you for letting Harvest to be a small part of this, and we just commit all of our ways to you. We ask for your help and that you would be glorified in everything that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Diana, thank you again. All right, so hey, I know that Diana and David will stick around after if you want to hear more, if you want to talk to her, if you want to pray over them, encourage them, if you want to slip them some fly money, you can do that. So Hey, if you have your Bibles, I want to bring a message to you today, part two of We Love Our City, a very familiar story found in Luke chapter 10. It's a parable called the Good Samaritan. Let me just read you the entire thing, and then I'm going to talk to you about it for just a few minutes. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him, passed by on their side, on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let me talk to you for just a minute about some things that I see in this story, how the Samaritan, not the priest, not the Levite, but the Samaritan, what did he do in response to the need? Because I think we learned some really practical things that help us in this idea of just loving our neighbor. Now, the first one is this, is simply that he saw him. Verse 33, I'll read it again, says, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him..." You know, I wonder sometimes how many places you and I go, but we don't see what we really need to be seeing. I wonder how often we go to work, but we don't see what God is hoping that we'll see. I wonder how often we're, you know, walking the dog in our neighborhood and we don't see what the Holy Spirit's trying to point out to us, because this is really just the starting point, is that you've got to see what's really going on. And the problem is this, is that our eyes become attuned to look for what we want to see. This is true of every one of us. Lisa sometimes teases me because I don't know if this happens to any of you men, but I'll open the refrigerator and I'll say, "Hey, where's the, you know, ketchup or the, you know, the mayonnaise or the jelly or whatever?" And it'll be like right there, you know? And she'll just look at me like, "Are you serious?" But I am serious. I'm like, "No, but really, where is it?" And so sometimes she'll tease me. She goes, "I don't understand how you can see a deer a mile away in the mountains and you can't find the ketchup," right? Because my eyes want to find deer in the mountains a mile away, right? We learn, we train our eyes to see what we want to see. And part of what I'm hoping for in this part of our series is to awaken you to realize that there are some things that the Lord would want you to see, but it requires you to train yourself. I mentioned this prayer last week. I think it was kind of at the end, this prayer of, "God, what do you want me to see?" As I'm going through life, as I'm pushing the cart through the grocery store, as I'm watching my kids at their sports practice, as I'm moving about and doing all the things, "God, what is it that you want me to see?" And I just tell you that if you'll train your heart — it's really more about your heart than your eyes, really — but if you'll train your heart, you'll begin to see things that were always there. It's not that they just started to happen. It's not that that person just happened. You'll start to see the things that the Lord wants you to see. So loving our city, our neighbor, our city, our state, our nation, our world simply begins with seeing. You got to see the needs, the people around you. The second part of this is in verse 33. Again, it continues and it just says this: he took pity on him. So he saw him and then he took pity on him. And this phrase, he took pity, I immediately think of Mr. T. Yeah, I remember Mr. T, his catchphrase, he always say, "I pity the fool," right? "I pity the fool." You gotta take pity. So you see the need, and then you have pity. Pity just means to have sorrow and compassion. It's really both. It's not one or the other. It's sorrow and compassion for someone else. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, there's a small passage that's titled "Love in Action," and it says this. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn." Rejoicing with others is so much fun, am I right? It's so much fun. You hear, oh, someone got a promotion. Oh, yeah, someone's having a baby. Oh, yeah, those things are so much fun. But the scripture teaches, this is part of pity, is that we don't just rejoice with those who rejoice. We also have to learn to mourn with those who mourn. Lisa and I have some very close friends who experienced a profound tragedy this week. And sometimes in those moments, you just don't know what to do because it's so tragic. There's no answers. There's nothing you can say. There's not a Hallmark card in the world that fixes some of the things that you'll encounter. And so sometimes because of that, we get paralyzed. We don't do anything. And we just kind of, we just kind of get stuck. And sometimes the best thing to do is just to show up. Just be there. Just be willing to cry together. Just hug. Just admit that you don't know what to say. Just admit that there's no good answers. And so I called our friends and I said, "Hey, we just want to be with you." And I'll never forget it because we were in the office and they came by and they came around the corner back to where Lisa and I, our offices were, and both of their eyes were already big and red and puffy. They'd already been crying all night and all that morning, and they came in and I walked up, I just wrapped my arms around my buddy, and Lisa wrapped her arms around his wife, and we just held him and we just cried. And I remember telling him, "I'm so glad that you're here. I've been waiting to put my arms around you. I've been waiting. I just love you so much." And we brought him in the office and we spent an hour just crying and talking and just being with him and praying together. And this is part of it, is that we, you gotta have pity when you see a need. You just gotta have pity. You gotta allow the Lord to stir your heart. This is where what you see with your eyes now connects with your heart. It's really a spiritual gift. It's not just being sad for something. It's allowing now you not just to see what God sees, but to feel what God feels. It connects that need from your eyes to your heart. And then number three, so he saw him, he took pity on him. And number three, he went to him. Verse 34, that's literally what it says. He went to him. You see, seeing a need and having pity are not enough. That's where a lot of people stop. A lot of people who will see a tragedy and they say, "Oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh," and we will talk about, listen, that's not enough. Loving our city requires action. Requires action. I love that Diana didn't just see a need in her country. She didn't just feel it in her heart, but she said, "I'm gonna buy a ticket." She didn't ask for permission. She just bought a ticket and she just went there. I love that every month Anthony and Kim Wingate take a team and they go to the international district here in our city where there's more homeless than any other part of our city. And they go and they pray before they go and they gather supplies and they put kits together. Listen, it's one thing to sit in our homes and to think about and to have pity on those that are less fortunate to us, but God doesn't just want you to feel bad for them. He wants you to go to them. I love that Mike Pittman saw and had compassion for young men to be discipled. So he went to them by starting a trail life troop. Am I making sense? This idea of loving your city, it's not just eyes, it's not just heart. It requires you to lace up your shoes and to go. You're gonna have to act. Number four is he bandaged him. The next part of the verse says, he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. So the Good Samaritan, he sees the need. His heart is stirred. He goes to the need. And when he gets there, he decides to do what he can. If you come upon a man like the one in this story, he's been robbed and beaten and stripped and left for dead. That's what Jesus tells us about him. If you come upon that man, listen to me, he doesn't need a Dave Ramsey class on how to make a better budget. He doesn't need to be invited to your life group. He doesn't need to be invited to squad. He doesn't need, are you getting me? Like, he doesn't need any of the, what he needs is for you to get down on your knees with the man and I think about this. He's traveling. He says he bandaged him. Where did he get the bandages? I don't think he was traveling with a first aid kit. I don't know if you've ever come upon an emergency, but in that time, you make do with what you have. And I just have a sneaky suspicion that the Good Samaritan took off some of his clothes and began to rip them into self-made bandages and began to wipe the blood off of the Samaritan with his own clothes and began to it's just this simple. He simply used what he had in the moment. And then it says that he poured oil and wine, and I won't take very long on this, but this is such a beautiful detail because throughout the Bible, the Bible uses the imagery, the symbol of oil as the Holy Spirit. In other words, there's this implication that the man is being empowered by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to remind you that you are a Spirit-filled people. And then when you come upon needs, that it's not just you and your resources, but the Spirit of God lives inside of you. That's the secret weapon that you have. It's not about how much money's in your bank account. It's not about how big your muscles are. It's not about how smart you are. All of a sudden, he's activating the gifts of the Spirit, and then he poured wine on it. And of course, you probably know this because if you've ever taken communion, wine is a symbol of the blood of Jesus. And I just want to remind you today that the blood of Jesus is the most powerful thing to ever come into the earth. And sometimes we need to be reminded because sometimes we look at a tragedy and it's so overwhelming, it's so big, it's so hard, it's so tough, we don't know what to do. And I just want to remind you in that moment that we have at our disposal the greatest power, that the blood of Jesus is stronger and it's bigger and it's more powerful and it can accomplish more. That the blood of Jesus can defeat the devil, it can defeat sickness, it can bring provision, it can bring hope, it can bring healing. I feel like you might have run 31 miles yesterday, not me. My goodness. I love this picture that he poured the wine and the oil and the Holy Spirit and the blood. He bandaged the man. And this next one, it doesn't grammatically make sense, but I think you'll figure it out. You'll get there. So he saw him and he allowed his heart to be stirred and he goes to him and he bandaged him. And then here, how do we love our city? I'm just giving you a playbook right out of this very popular story. Here's the next one. He donkeyed him. He did. He donkeyed him. Then, here's the verse, he put the man on his own donkey. I didn't know how else to say it because they all, you know, they're kind of flowing. I was like, so they donkeyed him, okay? What he did is think about this, whose donkey? It's the Samaritan's. In other words, he's using what he has. He's like, okay, here's my donkey. I'll put you on my donkey, and I'm going to take you to get help. And I know that today you probably won't be donkeying anyone, but you could ford them, Pastor Jace, right? He's hoping you'll ford them. He's hoping you won't Chevy them. He's really hoping you won't Dodge them, right? Come on, see? You could even Prius them. I'm just telling you, right? It's this idea that you use the resources that you have. Can I just remind you that nothing that you have is actually yours? The house you live in, the car you drive, the shoes on your feet, the clothes on your back, the money in your bank account. Like, none of it's yours. None of it is yours. None of it. We're stewards. We recognize we're stewards, and it's so much easier to use those resources to bring hope and to bring help and to come alongside of our neighbor, to come alongside of people, you know, in the Ukraine. Like it's just so much easier because it's not ours anyway. We live with open hands. The man said, I got a donkey. I'll donkey you. I'll take you to get help. In fact, that's the next one, is that he cared for him. It says in the next part of the verse that he brought him to an inn and he took care of him. Listen, the man, the man who'd been beaten and left for dead, he needed a place to heal. So he puts him on his donkey and he brings him to a safe place, a place where he can rest, a place where he can heal, where he can take care of the wounds. He can wash and disinfect and change the bandages and get some sleep and eat a good meal. Like that, he just needed some care, right? He just needed that. So he brought him there. And I'll just remind you today that the two best places, in my opinion, for someone to heal is in the home and in the house of God. And this idea of loving our city is that we, as followers of Christ, invite people into both places, into our home and into the house of God. Both of those they're healing places. When's the last time you invited someone to come over for dinner? When's the last time you baked someone a tray of chocolate chip bacon cookies? Listen. Karen Gleason might be one of the best people I know. This is her spiritual gift. I'm just telling you. She'll text me a picture of a tray of cookies and she'll say, would you be upset if I brought some of these and put them on your desk? I've never been upset, not once. I don't know why she asks that. Not one time. Not one time. I'm just like, when's the last time that you just... You increased your hospitality to just show someone how much you care, to show someone how much you love. Like that, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to codify what it means to love your city. I'm trying to simplify. It's not rocket science. Do you have the ability to care for someone in their time of need? And then the last one is, he paid for him. He paid for him. Here's the verse. The next day, he took out two denarii and he gave it to the innkeeper. He says to the innkeeper, look after him. And when I return, just keep a tally. I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Let me just warn you. Loving your city will cost you financially. It's just gonna. But guess what? That's why you have money anyway. That's why as you do this, God gives you more. That there's a scriptural principle there. That as you live that open-handed life and you allow your resources to come through you into other people's lives, the Lord says, let me keep giving you more. Let me bless you more. Let me because I can trust you. That's what the Lord's saying. I can trust you. Loving your city is gonna cost you financially. Let me tell you a couple of cool stories. Last week, I talked about how we were getting involved in our local elementary school, and they'd asked us to pop popcorn, and they wanted 500 bags of popcorn, and y'all, it was so crazy. Like it was just unbelievably, we were running, trying to pop all the popcorn, and we're just going and going and going. And so after church, someone came up to me, and like, Pastor, we just love what's happening. Oh my goodness, we want to be involved. And so we're talking about it, and then they said to me, they say, you know what? When you told that story about popping popcorn, you know what we thought? He said, we were talking. We think that Harvest needs another popcorn machine. Like it just sounds like if we had, would it help if we had one more popcorn machine? I'm like, it really would. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. I mean, that really would. And I saw the husband and wife, and they looked at each other, and I know the look. I know the look. They were like without saying words, the conversation was, should we buy a popcorn machine? I think we should buy a popcorn machine. Are you sure we should buy the popcorn machine? Tell them we'll buy the popcorn machine. And then they said, we'll buy a popcorn machine. It happened like that fast. It was so cool. And I love those moments when no one asks for a popcorn machine, but you just realize, you know what happened in that moment? They saw a need. And the Holy Spirit stirred their heart. They had some pity there. Pity on me for running around, they had some pity. And that God moved in their heart. And they said, you know what? We have the financial means. We will buy another popcorn machine. So this week I talked to our staff and I'm like, guys, the next time we go for popcorn, they're buying the machine. We're going to buy everything to go with it. We're going to have triple the supplies now. We're going to take everything, like the little salt shaker and the scoop and we did another Amazon list. Man, Amazon loves Harvest. I'm just telling you. And we started ordering all these popcorn things. Like I can't wait. They don't even know about it yet. I can't wait to go back to Marie Hughes with another popcorn machine. Isn't that cool? It's going to cost you. I'll tell you one more story. I really don't have time to tell you. Probably next week I'll give you more details. But some things happened, and this last week I had this idea to start a new life group. Okay, and the idea was this: it's going to be open to any parent of kids, any age. Okay, but the idea really was started like, you know, there's a bunch of parents who are driving their kids to youth on Sunday nights, and then they have like, you know, an hour and a half to kill, and so they're grocery shopping or Starbucksing or doing whatever. And I was like, we should do a group for parents. We should help each other, you know, because parenting's hard. We need to encourage one another, pray for one another, and read scripture together and talk about things. And so we came up with this idea. So here's the life group. It's going to be called Parents Who Pickleball, okay? I've never played pickleball in my life, but it sounds fun. I like pickles and I like balls. Is that right? So we're going to start a group in, I don't know, maybe next week, I don't know, in a week or two. And we're going to learn how to play pickleball together. And before we leave, we're going to gather up and we're going to encourage one another as parents. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for our kids. We're going to encourage one another. And the next week we'll come back and we'll be better pickleballers and better parents. And really, I don't care how good you are at pickleball, but I do care about how good you are as a parent. And so I called my friend Clint because Clint, I shouldn't have said his name. That's all right, too late. I called my friend Clint because Clint is the best pickleballer that I know. Okay, just he's legit. He's like for real. He's a pickleball master. And I was like, Clint, we need a pickleball teacher. Will you? I'm not joking. You should be scared if you see my number on your phone, by the way. There's no telling where we're going, okay? There's no telling. So I said, Clint, we need a pickleball teacher. And you might not know this, Clint is a counselor who specializes in helping kids. So he's also really good at the parent part, at the kid part. And so I was like, this is what I told him. Now I won't even be able to trick you. I just said, Clint, I'm going to get as many parents as I can to come to the church. They'll drop the kids off. We'll go to the back parking lot. We'll set up a pickleball net. You'll teach us how to play pickleball. He goes, that sounds fun. I said, wait. But I'm tricking them all. Tricking all the parents, but now I'm not because I'm telling you. I said, I'm tricking them all because we're almost to winter. It's going to be too cold to pickleball. Guess what we're going to do when it gets too cold? I'm going to say, ha-ha, you're used to coming. Let's go inside and let's really figure out how to be better parents. He goes, I love it. I love it. I'm in. I was like, we got our coach. And the next day he texts me and he says, Pastor, I ordered a pickleball net. I ordered pickleball paddles. I don't know what else you need. I ordered pickles. I'm like, I didn't ask you to do that, right? But what happened is that the Lord stirred his heart. He saw, he had some pity. And Clint and Kathy said, you know what? We can buy a pickleball net. And I just, all week, I've been seeing how the Lord does this. And I just want to remind you that loving your city is going to cost you financially. I said that was the last one, but there's one more. Why don't you stand with me? That will help me. This is all after running 31 miles, too. Can you imagine? Yeah. Here's the last one. Then we're gonna sing one song, and then we're gonna pray. Here's the last one. I won't take time. He had mercy on him. He had mercy. It says this. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor? Remember, that's our question. Because we start, if you remember my exquisite drawing last week, starts with the neighbor in the middle. So that's where we drop the pebble and it ripples out from there. So he asks, he says, which of these, the priest, The Levite or the Samaritan? Which one was the neighbor to the one who fell in the hands of the robbers? And the expert in the law said, it's the one who had mercy on him. It wasn't the religious guy. It wasn't the Levite. It was the Samaritan who saw him, who had pity on him, who went to him, who bandaged him, who donkeyed him, who cared for him, who paid for him. All of that, it's just an equation. He had mercy. He had mercy on him. And Jesus said this to the man, and I'd love for you to hear these words today as if he's saying them to you today, because I think he is. He said to the expert of the law, and he said to Harvest, he said, go and do likewise. Go. See the need. Allow God to stir your heart. Take action. Use your resources. Bandage. Care. Donkey. Pay. Do all. Do all of the things. Go and do likewise. And listen, we're going to provide corporate opportunities like this Wednesday at Marie Hughes Open House. I'm so excited. We're going to go love our city with bounce houses and Chick-fil-A. And water and chips and pizzas. We're going to provide. All you have to do is tell us you're coming, sign up, and show up. It's really, really easy. We're going to provide chances like trunk or treat, right? It's pretty easy. We're gonna equip you. We're gonna bring all the lights in and set up things. We're gonna buy all this candy. And all you got to do is show up and kind of do your part. Let me just tell you, that's like entry level loving your city, okay? What I'm hoping, what I'm really praying for is that you'll take this and you'll go to your neighborhood and your coworker and your classroom and your sphere of influence, and you'll allow the Lord to help you to see what he sees and feel what he feels, and then you'll spring into action. You'll go to the need and you'll care for people and you'll love each other and you'll pay for things, and like nobody's going to get credit except Jesus. Isn't that cool? Like that's what it's all about. So I'm going to ask our worship team to lead us in just one final song. And I just ask you in this final moment to allow the Holy Spirit to maybe put someone in your heart, to put a need in your heart, to stir your heart, to remind you of someone that you know that might need a phone call today, might need you to stop by, bring them some chocolate chip bacon cookies. They might need you to, right? The Holy Spirit may stir your heart today to do something, to pray for someone, to check on someone. And I'm going to come back and we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord for help. And we're going to love our city as best as we can. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
All right, worship team, will you lead us this morning?
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.